for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 1st, 2009. Ronnie Baju is the speaker of this service, teaching on If My People.
Okay, so with that, I'll hand the microphone to Ronnie.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet, please? Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord has been dealing with us in our ministry like He is all of His people. It is time for us to rise up. I sense the anointing of the Lord in a very special way today, and I'm going to attempt, if I may, to bring you something that's very prophetic, very right now in the 21st century church. And I pray that it be more prophetic than it would be pathetic, because the 21st century church is in a spirit of mourning, and I will try to clarify that for you in just a moment. We need to be reminded of this passage, even though that many of us can quote it. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people," read it with me, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Heavenly Father, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you today as your servant and your son. I pray, Lord, that you use every word that would come out of this mouth of clay. Let us hear from heaven today. Let our hearts be challenged. Let our hearts be moved. And let us not leave here the same way we came in. We ask this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm no more of a preacher than a teacher to most of you. A few years ago, the Lord dealt with my wife and I to further our Christian education, and I hope that word doesn't bother you. And we went on to get our doctorate degree, and that doesn't make us special. That doesn't even give us a ticket to the movie house or anything. But the purpose that we had a tool that we can go into particular denominations and religious groups that you would not normally be able to walk in. You just have that little extra thing tied at the back of your name. But without the anointing, we're hopeless. How many of you believe that? If you brought pencil and paper this morning, I want to be as quick as I possibly can. I want to address the subject, an attempt to mute God's voice. Am I right? I'm not even on camera. Gee. There's an attempt to mute the voice of God. Look at your neighbor and said, "When's the last time you heard from God?" I mean, you're going to have to help me preach. Now, I can get real radical and spit on you and anoint you real good with my saliva. There is a cry in our land for moral clarity. We are still the number one nation in this universe on top for abortions. And yet, we are still sending people in our political arena to the White House and believe that we're going to change our country. Change begins with every individual before it becomes corporate, before it becomes global. We have to be able to change and allow God to move us into the next dimension, or we're going to miss the mark. And the church has been in this slumber of a spirit of mourning. And that mourning does not mean grief. If you'll go back into your Webster dictionary, you will find one key word that God is dealing with us about in this hour that we're living in, and that's regrets. Everybody say regret.
We constantly look over our shoulder and think back of how times used to be. But we don't have the past anymore. All we have is present reality. And there's an onslaught of the enemy trying to mute the voice of God. Not only are they removing the Ten Commandments, God is no longer allowed to be used in our public arenas, in public schools. But they can use every other religious guru, but not the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Let me preach to this crowd. But not the name of Jesus. Whatever happened to the name of Jesus? Everybody gives accolade to God, this and God, that. But what happened to the name of Jesus? It's in the name of Jesus that we were free. It's in the name of Jesus that we were born again. There is no other name.
The word mute is interesting. This is real deep. The loss of freedom of speech. Is it possible that our country is going to come to a place in a sphere in this time to where we're going to actually lose our freedom of speech? And help me, for a lack of a better word, and freedom of religion. I'm not big on the word religion, but lack of it. The loss of it. Is it possible that God would allow these things to begin to operate in our country? I think it's time for the church to rise up and become word activist church. I think it's time we need to get back to the Word, get back to praying, and get back on calling upon the name of Jesus. And not waiting for somebody from the White House to tell us how we can administrate in our own facilities. We're either going to go to the White House or we're going to be in the outhouse. How many of you know what an outhouse is? And that is happening in our country today. We're being silenced in our country right now by an epidemic of fear. I've never seen so much fear in all my life. The only time I've seen fear greater than what we're experiencing in America in the 21st century church was when I was in Southeast Asia in 1966. And I'm standing guard from our platoon. And you can place your hand in front of your face and cannot even recognize your own hand. That is gross darkness, pitch darkness, where there is no light. And you have to be very alert. And the church must get back into the mode of, she needs to be alert. She needs to be discerning, or do you say discerning here? Discerning what hour and time we're living in. We need to be in tune with the sounds of the times.
Behind the scene. How many of you know that we need to know what's going on behind the scene?
There's a Jezebel spirit working through the government in the churches.
Do I need to remind you that Jezebel was the one that killed all the prophets? Do I need to remind you that the Phoenician worship goddess of Baal worship was supported by 450 Baal prophets in the land of Canaan? Why do we spend so much time listening to TV and all they have is wealth and more wealth and more wealth and more wealth? I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the problem that all they can do on Christian broadcasting is try to get money out of people? And the Lord said, they are diviners of money. They're only divining your money. Because if the church was really giving to the poor and reaching out, we'd be further down the road than we are today. How many of you believe we need to go a little bit further than we've been? When's the last time, people of God, that you have had the unction to go and knock on the door and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? But I can remember 36 years ago when I first gave my heart to Jesus that I was more than willing to go. But today I have to be led. And most of you know how I feel about led. You get your little 22 bullet put in your pocket and every once in a while you stick your hand in it and you feel led. And now we've got so spiritual we have to have four or five confirmations that the Lord's spoken to us. Because there's a silence in the land and the voice of God is being mute because preachers are not standing up anymore and teaching the truth, an unadulterated truth of the Word of God. They're teaching philosophy. And they have philosophized the people of God so much that they would not recognize Jesus if He walked in the double doors of their churches. That sounds sad, doesn't it? But this is what we're living in. And this is the hour. And I want to be encouraging to you just a little bit today, but I need to lay a foundation to take you somewhere. Is that all right? Look at your neighbor and say, that's all right. If you'll turn with me to the book of Amos. Back in 1980, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me about there was coming up a time on this land, in America, a spirit of famine. And I said, Lord, a famine? You mean we're going to get hungry in this rich soil, this rich land, in the good old U.S. of A? But he said, son, it's not a famine as you suppose. And it's not a famine of preaching the Word. It's the famine of hearing it. And I have to ask myself today, what am I hearing? What am I listening to? In Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, behold the days. When you see that word behold, get a revelation of this. It's fresh. The days come. I say to you today, the day has come, said the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. We are in struggle, in battle, in our 21st century churches for truth. The truth has seemed to left the churches as we know it. Many of the old generals are leaving. Are you hearing me? Pastor Glenn got up here and stood up here last night and told you who's going to take his place. My heart is for the next generation. Should I have to go the way of the grave, I want to be able to impregnate the next generation with the power and the anointing of God, not philosophy. Getting back to ABC, the basics of Bible, belief, trusting in God. Not trusting in money, but to trust in the Almighty God. We're supposed to be living in a recession. We are at the peak of the pinnacle of prosperity in South Louisiana. We have no idea about a recession. Because God is on the throne and we're hanging on to the horns of the altar and we're thanking God that He's more than enough. Some people are not as fortunate, but they're still in an attempt to mute the voice of God. Everybody say an attempt. If you'll go to Amos chapter 7 just real quick. Amos was a herdsman. To some theologian, he was a minor prophet. I thought, God, whoever came up with such idiotic stuff of minor prophets and major prophets? You're either a prophet or you're not a prophet. You're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. You're not half a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. One prophet came to our church. He said, brother, I'd like to prophesy to your church. But he said, you're in my way. He said, because I'm a major prophet and you're a minor prophet. I said, no, you got a bigger problem than that. I said, Jesus is in your way, and as long as I'm the pastor of this church, you're not prophesying without the permission of the Holy Ghost. That's the problem you have. Well, I don't know if I'm going to help anybody, but I'm sure going to try. Famine is simply an acute or a lack for anything. First, the natural, 1 Corinthians 15:46 says, then the spiritual. When we go back in time and see all the patriarchs like Abraham in Genesis 12, he sojourned from where he was into Egypt. His son Isaac did the same thing. Joseph was brought into slavery, became a governor of Egypt. There were famines in the land. These were famines because there were lacks of food, lacks of water. But this famine that I'm talking to you about is by hearing the words of God. And the enemy has an onslaught for us to hear the word of God. Job 23:13, I'm going to paraphrase. He learned to esteem God's word more than his necessary food. Why? Job hid and treasured the word of God in his heart. If you're going to slay any giant, you're going to have the word of God in your heart, not in your mind. Your mind is subject to vanity. Hallelujah. You're preaching real good, brother. Tell me a little bit more. Get all excited about it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He reigns forever and ever. Amos, the herdman, had four distinct visions. I like to make my little comments. He went from the plumb line to the sideline. 10 nations to the north, 10-2 to the south. Everybody in America in the 21st century church wants to be in the limelight. We've lost our desires to serve. I wouldn't trade all the pain. I wouldn't trade all the betrayal. I wouldn't trade all the backstabbing we have had over the last year for all the wealth in the world. I got me an education that I didn't get in Demonology 101 or 102. I got out and got on the battlefield and found out what was really working in my heart. And found out for myself and my family if we had the goods to overcome. I went to the Faith Camp seminars. I went to the apostle and prophet seminars. I went to the pastors and evangelist seminars. I went to the teacher seminars. But there was nothing like being on the front line for God to expose my enemies. And said, son of man, what are you going to do now? Because I know in my heart, he holds me in the palm of his hand. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. No matter what turmoil comes my way, he is not going to leave my side, Pastor Carol. No. He is for us, not against us. And I believe it's time that we begin to reiterate and rekindle and refire that we are truly children of God and begin to testify of the Lord's goodness. People are watching you. They may not darken your church building, but they're watching you.
Amaziah in chapter 7 of Amos verse 12, when you're going to stand up for as the voice of God, you're going to receive some opposition. Oh, did he have to say that?
The Bible said, also Amaziah, who came from royalty, said unto Amos, O thou seer, O prophet, you swamp prophet, go flee into the swamp, into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy. But don't prophesy again anymore at the house of God.
Where are the real prophets? Why are they hiding in caves, Papa? Because that woman Jezebel, Revelations 2, has seduced them in teachings, convincing them they don't have the goods to overcome. And they've forgotten from whence the Lord brought them. Now, some of you will look at me shocked because I don't generally minister on the areas of deliverance here, but I do a lot of it at home.
Listen to this. The church is losing her power because she's allowing the diviners of money to take over. Isn't that strong? It's for themselves, not for the poor, not for the kingdom. In 1 Samuel 3:1, the Bible says, young Samuel, under the administration of Eli, there were no open visions.
Now, this is really Cajun talk. There ain't nobody, nowhere, hearing the Lord. Not even the preacher. Because all Samuel could hear up to now was the priest.
And had not come to a point of understanding that now Samuel had been anointed and ordained of God to be a prophet to the land. Do we have any Jeremiahs in here? Would you like to be buried in dung and just say, thus saith the Lord? You might be buried underneath the outhouse. You might feel like an outhouse. You might even feel like an outcast. But the enemy is hot on your trail because he does not want you to hear the voice of God. And if you only hear the priests that are legalistic and want to bring you back into bondage, then you cannot hear God for yourself.
There are people in our country that can't hear God unless the pastor hears God. And listen, I'm all for the fivefold ministry. We've had Bible college. We preach fivefold ministry. We believed in the gifts of God. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Amos 3 is still alive today. God does nothing unless He first revealed His secrets to His servants, the prophets. And may I inject this just for a moment? A prophet is not some idiot that goes around prophesying to people. He gives you the present reality, the present state of the church, and the future reality of what's going to take place. He can prophesy, but that's not his main suit. Here's little Amos trying to mind his business, herd his little flock, Pastor Carol. And Amaziah said, why don't you just go back to Judah and prophesy to those stinking sheep? Don't prophesy here. Somebody just might hear God. How many of you are involved in churches and you can't remember the last time somebody prophesied in your church? Because it's controlled back here. And behind the scene, Jezebel is ruling. And he's not going to allow you to hear the voice of God in that dimension. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn with me real quick to Psalm 74. Let me give you three quick thoughts. See if we can get this out before 12 o'clock. I want to use Amos chapter 8 as a text. There are three main thoughts that I think is happening in this hour that Jezebel, or the enemy, behind the scene, is trying to kill the anointing. Silence the truth. You believe that? How many of you really believe that? And on top of that, to stop the voice of God. Psalm 74. The Bible says in verse 4 that thy enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for a sign. Do you believe that the enemy can come to church? How many of you really believe that? Have you seen the enemy in your church? Now, this is what I believe. You don't have to believe this, but it's in the Bible. I believe that something that's going to take place in the 21st century church is going to be the true apostleship and the true prophets have to step into the church to help govern the church and guide it into the destiny God wants it to do. Because, see, the apostle If you go back to Exodus 30, he was the myrrh and the five main ingredients. You're looking at me like, I am so foreign. The myrrh is a holy sacred oil. Only the apostle carries that oil, that fragrance. I smelt the fragrance last night when we were praising the Lord before our precious brother came up to prepare. Oh, glory to God. You see, because in Ephesians 4:11, the apostle, he governs. And the prophet, he guides. Ephesians 2:20 said, there's no other foundation that can be laid but then Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. Y'all are so excited.
God has a plan. But we have to be able to implement that plan. When you say apostles or prophets, most churches, traditional churches in America, absolutely just, because they don't understand it. Hosea 4:6 says, we are perishing for lack of knowledge because we reject knowledge. We reject truth. You have to have a foundation. I'm a builder by trade. I can't put a house on a sand, Brother Tom. It won't last very long. But if I dig deep and I lay good concrete and good rebar, I dig deep and get good solid foundation, I'm going to be able to pour the concrete and it will stand. It's a time in our nation. We need to dig deep. We are Americans. We are the child of the living God. Rise up and let your voices be heard. Bombard your congressmen. Bombard the senators, the congressmen. Let them know where you stand. You put them in office. Tell them, I don't believe or I don't agree. This is what I do believe and agree with. Unless you want to get back in office, you better straighten your act. They can't put you in prison for that. We still have freedom of speech. Come on, somebody. Verse 9 in the same chapter says, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us, any that knoweth how long. I thought prophets were supposed to know these things. Don't you read the same word as I do? How long? How many of you have cried to God in recent years and said, how long, God? Do you know you can ask your father a question? We spent 2,000 years telling God what we wanted. But we've not spent one moment asking him, what is it you want? What can I do that will please you today, my father? Whom can I go and minister to? The acronym my wife came up with last night. Help other people every day. The church needs hope. We have that hope. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. We just need to get reestablished. We need to reconsider our values. What are your real values? I know I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing because I only have a short time. And this is not a teaching seminar. What are our values? What's really important to us? How was this country founded? We're losing sight quickly. And this is why we need to begin to speak into our next generation. Because some of these old generals are going to continue to go home. And will we be like Samuel in a land with no more vision? And will the prophets be silent in the land? I don't know. This shook me when God began to reveal this to me. I usually come and by now I've spit on you and jumped all over three or four chairs and everybody hoop high and went home happy, 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 happy. Secondly, Jezebel wants to kill the anointing. Go back to Amos chapter 8, verse 10. Here God's talking. Do you believe that the word and is a conjunction from what he left off from? In verse 9 he said, it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feast. See that word morning? You will both find in the Hebraic and the Greek that that word has a strong connotation of regrets. How many of you have ever said a time or two in your life, oh, I wish I'd have done this? And how many of you have said, if I had to do it over again, come on, church, if I had to do it over again, I would not do it that way. Why? Because you learned something. Hallelujah. I've learned something. Also, it means leaving things undone, looking back. Remember Lot's wife, Lottie?
We could never find a name for her, so we call her Lottie.
Something's good. But the Bible said because she refused to look on, she turned around and looked back, and she became petrified in that condition.
And she has such a wonderful husband, Lot, covering false veil, false anointing, a moocher of faith. Lot didn't have enough faith to get himself out of a bucket. He mooched off to the faith of Abraham. Come on. But he was righteous. The Bible said, because of Abraham's righteousness. Are you with me? Some folks are just hanging by a thread.
But God said, not only will I turn your feast into mourning, He said, I will do something else. And all of your songs into lamentation. I've been to some churches and you think they're having a death march. Where in the world did they ever get this kind of music? But can I help you just a little bit? All music is not anointed. I said, all music is not anointed. The 21st century church has embraced rap. Come on. And all these other things that my mind leads me, I can't remember, hip-hop and all. And they're calling this anointed. And it, all it's doing is praising some demonic deity. And they're being seduced by that woman, Jezebel. The church has allowed her to sit in the administration and govern it. Because the pastor says, I don't want to make any waves. I'm laid back, you know. How many pastors we have in here? Afraid to raise your hands, huh? Thank you, brother. That was bold. We got two of us in here. Hallelujah. Oh, look at this. Then he says, sackcloth. That God was going to allow these people, and He will allow us if we don't change, to be clothed for humiliation. By doing that, He removes the greediness of our hearts. I double Scooby Dog dare you to ever ask God, humiliate me. He'll rip your heart inside out and let you take a good look and say, do you like this? Absolutely not. That's of the devil. Then change it. He's not cleaning your mess for you. You clean yourself up. You get up every morning, men, put your pants on just like mine. God is allowing the church to eat more humble pie than chocolate pie. My favorite is chocolate pie. I said this to my congregation one day, and I got 5 chocolate pies. I said, oh, please, God, me and my big mouth. I can't eat 5 chocolate pies. Just the other day, at the minister's meeting we have quarterly, the Lord says, the reason I'm having you as my son and as part of the church eat more humble pie than you are eating chocolate pie, because you limit how much humbleness you want. But the chocolate pie, you eat all you want to. And it's sweet. And it runs down your beard and cheek. And it's just like mama used to make. From scratch. Y'all know what that means? Not something you bought from Walmart and stuck it in the microwave. And mama labored that pot at the oven, cooking it in a hot day. Because it's her son's birthday. Going to give him chocolate pie. She called me the other day. I was 63 years young the other day. She said, son, I'm going to make you chocolate pie. No, 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 mama. Don't make chocolate pie. I just asked God to humble me. I'm eating humble pie, and I want all that I can handle. She said, well, what the heck does that mean? I said, I don't want any chocolate pie. Because me eating that chocolate pie, I'm having it my way. But if I eat God's humble pie, I'm having it His way. Hey. Oh, I could feel the Holy Ghost in here. I could preach just for a little while. But y'all are hungry. Let's go back. And all your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins. The Bible said we were to gird up our loins with what? Truth. And baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. I said, Lord, I don't have a real definition for baldness. She says, a bald person is a person that doesn't have a real covering. Not physically bald. You got to understand, we're talking about spiritual things. Because in Leviticus, if you were bald, you couldn't preach. If you had a humpback, you couldn't preach. You weren't clean. And there's a whole lot of people in the church today trying to do a service for God with no covering. Come on, Pastor, help me a little bit. They're going to go off and show the pastor how a real church, a real man and real woman of God really gets to do it. And they make havoc of these people. And they bring them back to you, wounded and bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. Looking for somebody with mercy and passion and wisdom to be able to help them. Well, y'all don't sweat just yet. We've got 45 more minutes. But it's awfully warm in here. I want you to go back to verse 7 and notice the fourth letter word. It says, and I will turn. What? Hafak, overthrow. 4 turnings. To turn around, to turn over, to turn to change. Isn't that interesting? How could that have numerically worked out like that? Amos had 4 main visions. 4 is the number of creation. In the midst of your turmoil, people, listen up. God will Himself create a situation that will bring you out. He told Abraham on the mountain, God will provide Himself a lamb.
I hope it scares the pants off of you. We need to be shaken. I'm tired of religion. I want to know Him. I want to know for myself, like I pray that you want to know for yourself. No matter how bad it gets, I'm going to make it by the grace of God. It was the law of God that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was the grace of God that took Him off. Grace is sufficient for you. Can I say that again? Grace is sufficient for you. Today, if you had received the knife of betrayal, you can still have joy. I still have joy. I still have joy. After everything that I've been through, I still have joy. I don't have this lovely smile on my face because I'm eating sour persimmons. I've got joy. When I look at the checkbook, I go, I still have joy. I still have joy. Utility company says your bill is due. No matter what I'm going through, I still have joy. You say, how can you be so happy? I said, my daddy owns everything. Have you met him? Well, your daddy must be God. I said, absolutely. Amen. Can I introduce you to him? For the enemy lurks through. Not only does she try to temper with your peace, she tries to temper with your joy. And I guarantee you, like we say in St. Louisiana, if she gets your joy, she got you by the seat of your pants. And the next thing you know, you're slipping out of the back door. Well, I used to serve God. But, how many of you have ever been there? Now, how many honest people do we have in here? How many of you have thought about quitting in the last year or two? We got a few honest people in here. We have deliverance cut out for us, call it the rest of my line. Never thought, never crossed the membranes of your mind. Why don't you just quit, Job? Why don't you just curse God and quit? The brother talked about it last night. I mean, you know, you're either in a blessing or you're under a curse. But here's the good news. You don't have to live under a curse. All right. Number three, silence the truth with philosophy. Amos 8:11 says, and I'm reading the last phrase, that I will send a famine. Who's sending this? Oh, not the first church of the Frigidaire? Not the first apostolic church? No, God is. The White House? No, God is. He's going to test us so we can find out what we're made out of. We're not proving anything to Him. We're proving something to us. I'm preaching real good and you don't want to shout hallelujah. Glory to God. The faculty of hearing. Proverbs 4 says, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thy ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thy heart. For there are life to those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. When you're between a rock and a hard place, you look at the Father and say, I'm between a rock and a hard place, but thy word I have inclined into my heart. Oh God, that I may not sin. Miss the mark. Sin is not popular in church anymore. Oh, brother, we don't use that terminology in our church anymore. We just miss the mark. Or we having a situation. I said, no, you're sinning. And you're trying to self-justify your sin. See, we used to love to have you in our church. And you was a good apostle, but we don't want you in our church no more because all you talk about is sin. We have come to a place where we have feared man more than we feared God. And He absolutely loves us. Unbelievably. If we understood His love, we would not shy away from Him. The Bible says that hearing and being attentive to my sayings, to the promises, to the utterances, to the commandments of God, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep it in the midst of thy heart, Proverbs 4:21. The word keep is interesting. It's a word that means to guard and observe. While God is convicting you or God is prompting your heart, observe what God is saying to you. Then guard your inner man. Guard your spirit man. But we're living in an hour, there's a lot of self-proclaimed apostles and prophets. And one of the last times that Doc was in our church and having a seminar, and this woman walks out in off the street, man, propping frame. She's got all the right acclimates, you know. She announces her words. She crosses all her T's, dots all her I's. And she says to Doc, she says, well, I'm a prophetess. Doc says, that's wonderful. And I have a word for these people. But Doc says, you don't understand. The pastor's not in right now, and I'm in charge. And as long as I'm in charge, you don't have a word for anybody in this church. But as soon as the pastor comes in, if you would bring the word to him, then we can discuss it whether you have a word or not.
And she stormed out the door. That's an obvious. What about those that are not obvious? That slip in. They get involved in the administration. Oh, they seem to have a servant's heart. But they're black widows. They'll stab you at a moment when you're not looking. And they begin to slither like snakes in the church. And you can't see because it's spiritual. I'm getting somewhere. Turn with me to Job chapter 41. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have enough time on this tape to get all this in here, brother? Okay, Job 41. Bear with me. Turn to Job 41. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 2:20 that woman Jezebel says, I have a few things against you that you've allowed her to seduce and to teach. You like that? I don't believe Jezebel was drop-dead gorgeous, but she must have been impressive enough that some of them were taken in by her. Look at me. She wasn't dumb. The devil is not stupid. I want to give you five concepts real quick that will help bring back the voice of God in your church if you can eliminate these five strong men, five strong concepts. I'm going to give them to you quickly and try to elaborate just for a moment on some of them. The first concept that this spirit of Leviathan comes at you with is the concept of suggesting and the seed of discord. He will suggest things to you. It's a power of suggestion. And by doing that, in Proverbs 6:19, he will bring you into a soul tie. You getting that? To where you can't hardly shake him off. You're like a crack addict. Whatever he says, you do. It's a mindset. You got it? See, I got it. All right. The Bible says in Job 41, he said, can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? How many of you know you can't go fish him with a hook? Come on. Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Can thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Because I love Corla, I'm going to just use her as an example. Pastor Corla, and somebody says, would you know, I really don't want anybody else to know this. It's between us. Wrong. You're boo-booing already. It should be between us. The pastor. Pastor, I'm not understanding, but sometimes when you preach it, it rubs me the wrong way. Instead of going to the pastor, the leadership of the church, they go to one of the people in the church and says, now, brother, you've got to give me your word. It's just between us. You and the devil, and God heard you too. And you're tearing down the chain of command. And Leviathan knows that because Leviathan is Jezebel's strong man. And his sole purpose is to go and finish the job that Jezebel started. She has the seduction. She has all the teachings. But he comes in unannounced. And look at me. He comes in people. And if you're ministering to people, don't get mad at people. It's not the people. It's the spirit tied to their soulish life. And they're convinced they're right. Most of them don't even know they're deceived. I was asked about an individual who used to come to our church. I said, oh, that individual is no longer with us. We removed Leviathan. But sometimes, if you're too slow, Leviathan will have put a real good stronghold in your church. So we made a real joke out of it. I said, well, God just downsized us. We're just downsized for a moment. We're still up. We're still in faith. We're still believing God. Are you with me? There were two laws involved in this serpent as he sows discord, the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. He tries to appear to you as he's very spiritual, and he begins to Galatians 6:8. He sows to the flesh to reap corruption. How many of you know if you water the flesh and feed it, this is deep, it'll keep growing. If you water it and feed it, it'll stay alive. But if you deny it, you will hear that your flesh has a voice. And that voice does not want to be mute. I don't want to get up. I want more ice cream. And if you want to have it your way, go to McDonald's. We have a history in our church world. We've had more discord in our churches than Carter has liver pills. Why? Because we didn't see what was behind the scene. We didn't see that seductive spirit coming into the church. We didn't understand it. We didn't have anybody to give us the knowledge. We're giving you some knowledge today. Not a whole lot, but we're giving you some. And it can be sown through improper doctrine. One brother stood up the other day and said, we don't need doctrine anymore. Excuse me, I said, the people got mad at Jesus because they thought he was teaching another doctrine. They didn't understand his authority. Jesus saw behind the veil of the flesh. He saw what spirit they were. The Bible said he knew their thoughts afar off. I didn't sleep last night. I heard these verses over and over in my spirit. So you're going to have to forgive me. I'm going to sleep well tonight. I like to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. I'm not one of these guys that scribbled up 15 or 20 scriptures to come up here and just blab. I like to listen to a man or woman of God and say, well, they said something. Not blab it and grab it. And women are just as anointed as men. If you heard me before, you know when I preached by the Spirit of Jael in the book of Judges, when Deborah was the prophetess of the apostle, she was the judge of the land, and Jael was her protege. See, we're going to kill Sisera. You're going to drive that peg through his mind and nail him to the ground. That no good sucker, that religious reprobate, we're going to kill him. That political activist, we're going to nail him to the ground. My wife says, why all of a sudden you're getting so strong on deliverance? I said, I never gave up on deliverance. I was preaching what God told me to preach all over the land. Now it's time to set things in order. How do you think I got all this knowledge? I've been beat, knocked down, kicked over, stabbed, spit on. Cuss that. Cussing's for fools. When you see Peter asking. An apostle could cuss? Yeah, he was. He was a cussing sailor. He quit on Jesus and got his own group. He had his own groupies. Man, I'm tired of this Amazing Grace stuff. We're going to get our own groupie on this stuff. Go, boom, 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 boom. Ah, boom. Okay, where's the anointing? My granddaughter is... My daughter used to say, I don't know. I don't like all this Amazing Grace stuff. I'll never teach it to my kids. Wrong. She's just like her mama. She teaches her kids daily by the grace of God and the goodness of God. And she loves Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now that you're saved and found, open your mouth, little children, and speak the words of the Lord. Next time you get to the register at Walmart, don't only ask them, has anybody told you that Jesus loves you today? If the Lord so says you prophesy to him, the folks can wait. We're rising into a new awareness that if this thing ever going to get turned around, we the people of God have to turn it. Another seminar is not going to do it. It's you getting in your closet. And talking to your father in secret. Say, what do you want me to do? I preached enough on that. Secondly, the concept of agreement and the seeds of doubt. Job 41 verse 4 says, will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? You don't want a covenant with Leviathan. He's a spirit of compromise. And he shows up at church in a three-piece suit or a collar. And his sole purpose is to cause division. God never said, and discord you will have with you forever. Did he say that, Pastor? No, sir. We're not strong when we're divided. We're strong when we're united. We're going to have to take our country back from these foreign gurus. I'm believing God that we're going to start making stuff back again when you purchase out of the store, in your Walmart store, and it says, U.S. of A. I didn't serve China. I didn't serve Korea. I didn't serve any of these foreign gurus. I served in the United States Army, and I'm proud to be it. And I'd do it again at my age. I'd rather do it than see some of these young boys have to go and give up their lives. I've had my fun. I'm ready to move on. But I know you won't let me. I'm not a politician, people, but I'm a realist. And in this agreement, Leviathan not only brings strife and contention, he wants to plant a seed of doubt in your mind. When you start questioning the authority of God, you've been robbed. Are you with me? I wish we had time to do all this, but we don't. The third concept I saw in the Spirit was the concept of seduction and the seeds of unbelief. In verse 5 it says, will thou play with him as with a bird, or will thou bind him for thy maidens? When I see people walking around with snakes wrapped around their necks and slithering down their shoulder, my skin crawls. I would rather face a water moccasin in the swamps of Louisiana, buried in water and mud up to my waist, than to have one of those pythons wrapped around my neck. You see, what that's signifying is,
your neck is your will, and you've surrendered, because you not only cut covenant, you agreed with Him. Now, you're in this phase, because somebody in church who you thought was spiritual, now you're toying with it. So you start to plot with these people who are leading this little gang of folks that are in the church, and they want to destroy the anointing. They want to take away the voice of God in the church. I'm a country boy. I like it simple, and I like it straight. Don't skirt around the issue with me. What happened to the children of Israel in Hebrews 4? They were in doubt and unbelief. Do you think for a moment that they ever experienced that serpent, Leviathan, the python, the strong man? Sure they did. Because see, seduction always brings about abduction. He wants to bring you into prison. And you begin to have dramatic changes. And sometimes it's a slow, painful death. It's a venom. How many of you could say, brother, I feel that I've been dying. There's been some moments in the last few months I felt disconnected. Are you bold enough to raise your hand with me? You got bit by Leviathan. Somebody bit you, and he wants to poison you, put venom in you, make you lose hope. Was Jesus immune to this? He faced every trial and every temptation that you and I were going to face. Where did we always see this guy operating? We saw him in the garden in Genesis 3. He reversed the words of God. When he told Eve, God had said, and he said, had God said? Power of suggestion. Are you really, really, truly, truly sure, Eve? And then one of the verses says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. But the woman is not just Eve, it's the church. Because we listen to seductive messages and teachings of people who are trying to divine you, to giving them all their money, but there's no anointing, there's no hope. And you're bombarded with depression and oppression because you've been bitten. Because you trusted in a man and a woman of God that you thought they had the works. But Leviathan was working behind the scene. Isaiah 27:1 says, he called it a piercing and crooked serpent. Oh, he wasn't a straight guy, was he? Piercing and crooked. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, my brother quoted last night, Leviathan comes transformed as an angel of light. How do you like the new age Christ that's on the scene? These people are so duped. Should this take us by surprise? Paul warned the church at Colossae about these philosophers in chapter 2. And traditions of men, and vain deceit. The philosophers. We had one friend with our present president. A philosopher. Has written many books. And has philosophized people into his belief. When we can't give the recognition to the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women of God, we are in trouble. And the glory belongs to Him and none else. The concept of exposure and the seas of murmuring. Verse 12 says, I will not conceal His part, nor His power, nor His commonly proportioned. Who can discover the face of His garment? Or who can come to know Him with His double bridle? He has a double standard. Have you been prone to murmur lately? Things have gotten tight. And is it amazing when you're murmuring, you can always find somebody to agree with you. It's a whole lot easier to find somebody to murmur and complain with you than it is somebody to stand in faith with you. Because the first thing they say, well, I don't see that. You're not standing in my shoes. For God's sake, if somebody asks you to pray the prayer of agreement with them, please agree with them in faith. If they're praying in faith and they're believing God, don't say, well, I don't see that. It's not about you. It's about helping somebody else. He does not want unity. And what is happening in our government is not trying to bring unity. We have at our hand right now a complete government takeover. Are we just going to sit here like the lepers did and wait till we die? Or will we rise and go? Well, I can't go to Washington, D.C. That's all right, but you can send your prayers. You can talk to your father in secret. You can have prayer vigils. You can come together in the name of Jesus. Has anybody ever faced this situation? Yes, in Numbers 16:1. It wasn't called Leviathan. His name was Korah. Korah's regime. He withstood the men of God, Moses. And God said, oh, really? That's how you feel about it? I've got an earthquake that the meteorologists have not discovered yet. It's going to swallow you and your whole family. Come here, Bubba. I got a news for you. Flash news. You're fixing to die. Oh, brother, you way out there. Oh, whatever happened in the book of Acts? Ananias and Sapphira. Well, who do you think was behind the scene? Was my money. I sold the property. I can do with what I want to. I'm talking from a pastoral position right now.
I cannot find in the Bible, and if you preachers got a better revelation than me, please help me, where you're supposed to divide your tithe. Is there a scripture like that? Well, brother, I've been coming here faithfully, and the Lord has been using you to feed me, but as from this month, I've got to divide my tithe with you and this other ministry that I'm supporting, because now they're washing their little babushkas and they wear their prayer shawls and they're acting like Hebrews. So I want to become a Hebrew now. I said, well, go ahead, act like a Hebrew and act like a fool.
You know that men do make coffee, and it's scriptural. You know that one, don't you? In the Bible it says Hebrews. I got to make y'all smile. Y'all are way too serious for me. We've got 10 minutes. Do you have just cause to murmur? Show me a word. Has seeds of murmuring been sowed in your work? But if you don't like that murmuring in the church, just think when it starts happening in your business. See how you like it then. It'd be good for all the people in God's kingdom to get behind the podium and to sit in a 5-4 ministry gift just for a short season. What a revolution we would have in the church. We'd have a complete makeover. You would appreciate your pastor and pastor's wife that labors every week and seeks the face of God on your behalf. You really would.
But it's easy to sit back in those comfortable chairs and coach from the sideline. You can be the best catalyst in the world. Sitting there just,
this is the way you ought to do it. You ought to turn here, you ought to turn there. He'd have played this play that would have won the game. But you weren't with the guys in training, in the sweat and the bruise and the cuts and the pain. And when we start bellowing in our country, moaning and groaning, because there's no more preachers with backbones. They all have wishbones. And they're not preaching the truth anymore. Because they've left God and committed this crime that Leviathan is bringing in. They've cut covenant with Leviathan. They pet him. They're diviners of money. They pet him. Come on, give me another idea how I can get another $1,000 out of him. I saw this in the spirit. I don't care what you think of me. But you need to be aware of what's happening. Yes, God did. The first people you ought to support is your local church. You should never quit giving to the kingdom of God. But there's no scripture that says, and you shall give to the diviners of money on television. So they can buy a bigger Learjet or buy all the satellites so nobody else can preach but them. So you can only hear their voice. Wasn't that simple? Well, I'm a mess today. I don't have any idea what I'm telling you.
Hallelujah! The last concept is false covering and the seeds of complacency.
Cora thought he could get by with it. I'm just as anointed as you are. You've just been at it longer than me. By God, I can do it. What does the Bible say about pride? Does it fall?
Certainly, you won't agree with this next statement. Americans, we are proud, aren't we? And can you imagine?
Change was the motto. We are in for it. Go back to Israel. And every time they had a king, God gave them a king after their own hearts.
I'm not badgering him. I pray for him. That's my Christian duty. I pray for him. I pray for his cabinet. I pray for all those in authority, spiritually, physically, civil.
But no matter who's in the White House, if God doesn't have that heart, something else does.
What was it, Brother Bruce? Can a demon have a woman?
I preach in a very popular, upgraded, traditional, up-to-date 2009 church. And the brother says, what are you going to administer this morning? I said, I was basically going to talk about, can a Christian have a demon? He says, brother, you can't talk about that. Not in this church. I said, fine, I'll change the title. Can a demon have a Christian? Well, what would you do if the pastor asked you to come and preach on deliverance? So I just changed the title. The message is the same.
Well, I just don't believe that Christians can have a demon.
Well, most folks don't believe that.
And then when we get free from that, we got to get beyond that. What about relationship? What about intimacy with the Father? You know, if we really spent a whole lot of time with God, we wouldn't have to listen to the devil. Hallelujah! Stand to your feet. You got 7 minutes before we can cast the devil out of you and then you can go eat.
Yeah. I'll never forget my first session. I told God, I said, I'm going to go in my lunch hour and get those devils cast out of me. 2.5 hours later, I'm still puking in a garbage can. And I said, well, when are we going to get done? He said, when they're all out. I came back. I look like I've been whitewashed. I'm gagging. Man said, what happened to you? I said, I just got me some deliverance. He says, what in the world is that? I said, make an appointment. I saw these folks coming in there crying and smiling at the same time. I said, man, I got to get me some of that. I mean, you know, when you first got saved, you got to have some of everything that's going around. That's the way it is, isn't it? I just want you to release your faith today. You've been involved in church work. Just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you participated in one of Leviathan's schemes that was operated by Jezebel behind the scene. And you thought Sister Righteousness, she had it all together, and Brother Know-It-All. And you got to find out that you were duped. And the enemy used you to say things you shouldn't have said. Not only did he use you, he planted seeds in your mind. And perhaps today that you still have seeds, you've not been able to get them out. I just want you to take a deep breath and blow out and relax. Now here's what we're going to do. Real simple. I thought what the brother did last night was tremendous. We're going to do it this way. When I ask you to blow out, you just blow out. And don't hold back anything that's in your soul. Because the first thing the devil's going to tell you, you don't have that. And when he does, you got it. You got it? All right. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now of all the spirits of Leviathan that have entered in and brought forth discord in our minds. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of discord, you come out, let them go. Take a deep breath and blow them out. In Jesus' name. All strife and contention, in the name of Jesus. All divisions, in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. Father, we just come to you right now. Every spirit of doubt, every spirit that would cause us to waver and question the authority that you have put us under, we come against this doubt and we release our faith. We command it now, leave us in Jesus' name. You say, doubt, leave me now. Now, let it go. Just exhale. Blow it out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of unbelief. Unbelief brings unfaithfulness. It brings you faithless. And to the point where you cannot hear God anymore. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of unbelief, loose your people. Let it go. Take a deep breath. Exhale. All unbelief. Every spirit of murmuring and complaining. Whispering and murmuring and complaining. Thinking nobody else hears you. In the name of Jesus. Exhale. Blow it out. All unbelief. Go now. In Jesus' name. The spirit of complacency. You can be satisfied but not content. If you have to yawn, yawn. That's fine. All complacency. Let it go. In Jesus' name. In every word that you have ever uttered against the authority of God and the civil authority of God, and you have not prayed for them, ask God to forgive you right now in the name of Jesus. I say this with you, I believe in the name of Jesus that I am free from every demonic activity that Leviathan brought into my life. And I declare and I decree my freedom. In the name of Jesus. Now give the Lord praise offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you are hungry? Father, we bless the food. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to sanctify it to our bodies. Bless those who have labored to prepare it for us. Lord, provide every need for this camp. That's our prayer. Let not one stone be unturned. Amen. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for this day. In the precious name of Jesus and the people of God said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.